an Amazing Grace song sheet.
Oh. One thing that is interesting, as I was preparing for this, my husband Joe showed me a book report that my third-born son, Joel, did in 2014 at Frontier School of the Bible. So I was excited. If you want to read it, I'll have it here. I hope that isn't love does not brag, but anyway, there you go. It's a really good little report, too. I got to tell him when I talk to him again. Okay. What I'd like to do is everyone turn to 1 Corinthians 13, 4. And those are the elements of love, the characteristics of love. And what I'd like to do is go around and introduce ourselves. And I want you to pick one, and I know it may be tough, one description there that you need to work on. One that you might have even been convicted of to work on. I know. Down south, there were a couple that did a couple. So if there's more, you're welcome to do that, too. So I'll start us off. My name is Bev. And the thing that I have to, the element of love that I need to work on the most is does not take into account a wrong suffered. We'll go this way.
My name is Lana. And I would say love is patient. I need to work on that.
Hard to pick one.
My name's Leanna, and I would agree with Bev saying that for me it's the one that it doesn't take into account a wrong suffered.
I'm Tori, and I think I need to work on not being envious of other people.
I'm Kelly, and I would say if I had to pick just one, it would be patient.
I'm Kathy, and I ran into myself a week or so ago, and it's kind. It's being kind.
I'm Kim, and I think maybe insisting on my own way.
I would say ditto. I'd be as
funny. I'm Diana, and I'd also say kind. It is not natural for me.
I'm Julia, and I'm going to say patient and is not provoked.
I'm Janet, and patience.
I'm Lucy, and I would also say patience.
I'm Jill, and I think I'm going to say believes all things, as in believing the best.
Well, that's my second one.
I'm Lizzie, and I would also say I would say it's not selfish, it's self-natural.
My name is Angie, and I would like to say all of them.
I'm saying one, huh?
I would go with patient and believes all things.
My name is Catherine, and exactly those two.
I'm Kathy, and not easily provoked. Be what I need, not be.
Well, thank you guys for sharing. In Pastor Mark's sermon titled Characteristics of Godly Living, Love, he says, the godly will live in love of others because this is what is produced in them when they have been regenerated. He's also said, a fervent love shows we have the eternal word of God at work in us and that we have been born of God. 2 weeks ago, Jill started us off through a discussion of chapter 1, Act in the Spirit. Does anyone remember the theme of that chapter as foundational for the rest of the book? And here's your hint. It's found on page 8 of our book. And it's at the bottom. Italicized. Not sure if I said that right. Julia, would you like to read that for us, please?
When conflict arises, our attitudes and behaviors should reflect our new life in Christ, given by the Holy Spirit who lives within us. We are to be clothed with the Spirit and not the works of the flesh. We are to walk in step with the Spirit's leading. We are to be Spirit-controlled and not flesh-controlled or out of control.
So that goes along even with what Pastor Mark was saying. We learned that when facing conflict, we should not display the works of the flesh, but we should display the fruit of the Spirit and the wisdom from above. Learning to handle disagreement as a Spirit-controlled Christian. Many believers struggle with their relationship with others and become defeated in the way they handle the matters of life. This is usually because self gets in the way. There is a great battle between the flesh and the Spirit, and it's necessary to deal with that war within. We need to constantly be aware that we're in a spiritual battle. I once heard a speaker talking to mothers, and he admonished them in this way. Mothers, you cannot raise your children as if they're living on a cruise ship. You need to train them as if they're living on a battleship. And that's true for us to remember as well. Today, we're going to be discussing Chapter 2, Act in Love. Now that y'all have read it, Lord willing, what is the main point of this chapter? Do you guys want to venture just to throw out what you believe the main point is?
Walking in the Spirit, not the flesh.
Very good. Anyone else want to throw anything out?
I'd like to get back to the end when you talked about the story about John. Little children love one another, and then asked why. He said, because it is the Lord's commandment, and if it alone is done, it is enough. So just love.
Mm-hmm. Yep. If you look on 24 as well, because those are very good answers. Thank you, guys. On page 24 of this book, under Love Defines How to Act When Facing Conflict, there's that little box kind of thing. And it says, believers are to be known not only for their uncompromising stand for the truth of the Scripture, but also for their unwavering love for one another, even when they disagree. So that is amazingly important. So after you read this chapter also, and I know this book is mainly, you know, don't bite and devour each other in the church. Did you also see how this could be used in your homes or even when you're driving, right? I mean, because that's kind of where I'm thinking, even during off season. So remember that these are principles. Still happening, ladies. These are principles for our life. So after reading Act of Love and Act in the Spirit, do you see how they connect? How do you see that they connect?
How does what connect? I mean, the Spirit and the love?
Mm-hmm. How do you think those two chapters connect?
Well, without the Spirit, it's impossible to love that way.
Very good. Yeah. The fruit of the Spirit, the very first one is love. Okay, another question, and this one's kind of fun. What have you heard through the years, you growing up, what love is? Don't get me started on Disney princesses either. That has to stay out. No, just kidding. What have y'all heard through the years about what love is?
Feelings.
Feelings, yeah. Yep. Feeling in and out of love with people.
Emotions.
Yep. Being controlled by them. Ah, yes. Love yourself, even. That's a huge one. Anything else?
Sacrificing for someone else.
Okay.
Usually in a very emotional or Hallmark type way.
Oh, yes, yes. And the Christmas ones are coming, by the way. Be aware of that as you watch those. The same thing happens over and over again. It's like, I even tell Joe, okay, this is what's going to happen next, and this is what's going to happen. But anyway. But yeah, the Hallmark movies, too. I mean, we've heard a lot of stuff through the years about what, and you're still hearing it, what love is. So Did this chapter have an impact on you over the last couple of weeks? Did it cause you to examine yourself and even catch yourself to respond in love? And would anyone like to give an example? The last couple of weeks as you've read this, how, oops, you know, you caught yourself to be obedient in the love aspect.
I think one of the hardest parts is just letting go and not retaliating, not engaging in the conflict. And I know from personal experience, in the last couple months, there's been a couple relationships where I had to, like, consciously put on love. And because there wasn't reconciliation, there wasn't any of that. And on page 27, it says, love desires to reconcile and repair a relationship, believes past injustices in God's hands. So that's just, it's comforting.
Yes.
At the same time that he's the one who's going to repay. And my job is to just put on love.
Very good, Eunice. Thank you.
Hard,
it is, but he's going to give you that strength as you obey. That's the kicker. Anybody else want to share? Yes. Look at that hand went right in the center. Wow. Making sure Beth sees that. Whoa. Yep. There it is.
So on page 26, it was talking about like tribal groups practice spearing.
And, and you just came off a college and career retreat. This is going to be good.
So about how love does not seek revenge for wrong suffered. I was talking about how, you know, if someone died in a tribe, they would seek revenge if someone else had to die. So that just struck home for me about when you're wronged, not seeking retribution, not trying to, you know, get your revenge, get even with them. But, yeah, that was big for me.
Oh, sweet. Praise the Lord. Excellent. Well, let's go ahead and read the boxes, or the boxes, the one box, I'm cross-eyed, the box, page 7 of the workbook. And Diana, could you read those verses? Do you have a workbook?
I have the
workbook. Oh, when are you going to get it? Do you want a workbook?
Yeah, that would be good.
Okay.
I'll take them.
I've been doing it off of the
Okay. Well, we're going to take note.
I can't read something that's...
Okay. I'll,
okay.
There you go.
Oh, the verses is in the box. The boxes aren't in my notes. Okay, you want all of them?
Yes, please.
Okay. Ephesians 4, 2. Bearing with one another in love. 1 Peter 4, 8. Love covers a multitude of sins. Romans 14, 15. For if your brother is grieved by what you eat, you are no longer walking in love. 1 Corinthians 16, 14. Let all that you do be done in love.
1 Peter 4, 8 in its entirety, because that's a portion, which is really neat. He pulled up mainly the love part of each verse. But I decided to look up the verse as a whole. And in 1 Peter 4:8 it says, above all, keep fervent in your love for one another, because love covers a multitude of sin. I decided to look up the definition of fervent, and it means having or displaying a passionate intensity, hot, burning, or glowing. And I really like the glowing part, as burning and glowing love for each other, fervent, making it that way. And in Ephesians 4:32, the whole verse says, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, showing tolerance for one another in love. And I really like those attributes before, because it reminds of what we learned 2 weeks ago from Jill. Those very words before that are intertwined. You know, fruit of the Spirit, wisdom from above. When you think about it, the whole showing tolerance for one another, you're really working on yourself with all humility, gentleness, and patience, which, again, a characteristic of love, showing tolerance for one another in love. The Greek word for tolerance is a word I'm not even going to try to say to you guys, but it means bearing with one another. And I think a lot of y'all's translations may even say that. So having tolerance or bearing with one another. Colossians 3:13 also has the same Greek word, but that same idea. It says, bearing with one another and forgiving each other, whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord forgave you, so also should you. So let's go back to our workbooks, page 7, and I'm going to ask the first question. Explain what Francis Schaeffer means by the statement, to speak the truth and to act in love simultaneously requires the empowering work of the Holy Spirit. Balancing truth and love cannot be done in the flesh. Can someone explain what Francis Schaeffer means by that statement?
So just to throw something out there, mm-hmm. for me, what I read that was like, we would not be able to do that on our own. It's evidence of Christ working through us.
That's right. We need the Holy Spirit to speak through us on that. Very good.
I guess the negative side of that would be our flesh will always seek selfish gain.
Yes. That spiritual battle that we have to be aware of. Thank you. Very good, you guys. So in our books, page 24, because we're going to try to, as Jill called it 2 weeks ago, the juggling act here. The first element or chapter or section he has is love defines how to act when facing conflict. So that relates to actually question number 2 in your workbook. In light of what you have read in chapter 2 about 1 Corinthians 13, how should you now understand and apply 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 7?
I thought it was interesting that the book pointed out that Paul was writing to a church in conflict, so he already had that in mind, mm-hmm. and he knew that we would be struggling with these things.
Yeah, exactly. Very good. Anybody else?
I've always heard that referred to at weddings, so my mind was blown when they said this is not a romantic passage, this is not meant, like, in that context for a wedding. I was like, what?
Uh-huh. But you know what I thought of, too? Is okay, they read it at the wedding, bring that puppy out a week later, okay? Say, remember what was read at our wedding? We were like, really? That's right. It's like, okay, let's go to this 1 Corinthians right now. But yeah, it's true. You know, they make it this romantic thing. Okay, I really liked the quote at the bottom of 24 as well. We must look moment by moment to the work of Christ, to the work of the Holy Spirit. Spirituality begins to have real meaning in our moment by moment lives as we begin to exhibit simultaneously the holiness of God and the love of God, going along with what y'all are saying. I also heard it interesting that when you look at 1 Corinthians 12, it's spiritual gifts. Then all of a sudden he stops and he talks about love. Then he goes back to spiritual gifts, which was really neat as well. Okay, page 8. In your workbook, he had us write out the 15 descriptions of love. Wasn't this cool? I love doing lists. And it was so neat to see the positive on one side and the negative statements on the other. I thought that was really, really neat. Did anyone have any comments or questions on that one? Also, everyone should have a copy. This was on the downloads, but I thought I'd have everybody have it anyway. Descriptions of love. Just stick it in your books, and you can look at it for future study. Okay. Question C. Why does Paul list 8 sinful vices explaining what love does not do? Why do you think that?
Because we're prone to do those things.
Yep.
And overcoming them shows Christ's work in our hearts.
Very good answer. Anybody
also,
else?
They include things that are outward. So the bragging, the being provoked, acting unbecomingly. So even if you have a hard time seeing those negative things in yourself, pour someone else. It's easy to point it out. It's like, but you said this.
Mm.
But you did this.
Mm-hmm.
And it would be hard to do that. But you feel that way. Not as necessarily valid.
Yeah, that's a big one too. Thank you, guys. D, according to James, what commonly causes fights and quarrels among believers?
Our desires.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I guess fleshly desires, I should say.
Yeah, absolutely. Again, there's that word passions in there. Because, boy, when you think of anger, it's a passion. That's one of the many emotions there. Okay, three, in the context of discussing 1 Corinthians 13, what does the author mean by a statement, decide beforehand how you should respond toward those with whom you disagree?
I think I just wrote down what they said in the book, right? Before potentially exposing the meeting or tense personal confrontation, review in your mind the biblical descriptions of love. Remember that love is the first fruit of the Holy Spirit, so choose to walk in love.
Very good. Very good. So what we're going to do now is a plan, just what Kelly's saying. It's easy to say, isn't it? We're going to walk away and say, whoop, that's something I'm going to do. You go home, because you don't have a plan. See, Joe has this thing that I keep forgetting how to do it. If you fail to plan, then you plan to fail. So guess what? We're going to walk through a verbal one, and then you guys can go home and do your own. Are you ready? Okay, this was fun. Because I love plans. La, 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 la. Just want to make sure. Okay. Oh, wait, I'm so sorry I'm pausing. I don't want to miss a thing. Okay, last week we discussed what is the first thing we should do when conflict arises with another brother and sister. Example, you're in the hallway and I'm just so excited I'm not going to be able to say it right. You're in the hallway at church and boom, it happens. You have a disagreement with a brother or sister, or you receive a hurtful remark. Does anyone else want to venture another thing that may have happened to you or you know of? I just came up with the two. A disagreement or hurtful remark came at you. Okay, that's fine. They were quiet down south too, but I just thought I'd ask.
Is the example just at church, among the church?
Yeah, I'm trying to keep it church. Okay. Yeah, I'm trying to keep it churchy. You can do that. He's a brother. You can do that. He's a brother. Absolutely. Usually it happens on the way. I remember. Woo. But anyway. Okay. So what's one of the first things you can do? It happens. Something happens in the hallway at church with your husband, with a brother and sister. What's the first thing you can do?
Hold it.
Okay.
Keep your thoughts captive before that.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Flare prayer. 2 weeks ago, Jill referred to it as flare prayer. I used to call them arrow prayers, but I now call them flare prayers. I like that. You can hold your tongue. You can take your thought captive by immediately going to God. Immediately in your thoughts, you ask for God's help. Lord, help me. And if that's all that comes out, that's all Peter did as he was sinking. Okay, Lord, help me. Then what? I'll just keep going. Jill said it 2 weeks ago that I really liked. Love is patient. We don't need to confront or respond right away. You can get back to the person if you think you need to. Next, have that scripture memory going, ladies, because next you need to recall scripture that you have memorized in that moment. Eunice did it just now. Take your thought captive. I think that's 2 Corinthians 10:5. What does Psalm 119:11 say? Does anybody have that memorized?
I have it in your word.
That's it. So Are you ladies treasuring God's word in your heart? Are you seeking to memorize, purposefully memorizing so that you aren't sinning against God? Because guess what? You sin against a brother and sister in your heart or in your mind, you're sinning against God. This is why we memorize scripture. Why not be prepared by the Holy Spirit in you, the power that's in you, by recalling his word? But that means you have to memorize. And who in this room does not want to treasure God's word in their heart? Any of the verses in the beginning in that box, 1 Peter 4:8, 1 Corinthians 13, Ephesians. So, back to our problem. We're offended in the hallway or the equipping hour, something on the app. Something messes with us. Okay, later in years, as we go through stuff, there's even more issues that you have to deal with because of emotions and stuff. You're starting to pray. You recall scripture memory. Next, you could get godly counsel, but I'm not talking gossip. You don't just go down the hall. I used Jill as an example yesterday. I turned to Linda Masella and I said, you don't do this. I said, Jill was so mean to me about 5 minutes ago. Can we pray about that? You know? Okay? You've got to be really careful. It's probably best you keep it to yourself. You deal with it. But if you need godly counsel, you make sure your heart is right in humility. You make sure that you want to be godly in this situation, asking yourself, in what way have I not been a loving person, and how can I demonstrate love in this present situation?
That requires humility, though.
We're going back to the verses in the front. You're right. The very ones that we should be memorizing when we're hurt. It's hard, whether you're hurt or you're angry, passions that we need to deal with right away. And we can not sin, we really, with the power of the Holy Spirit in that moment. I'm not sitting here saying I've done it. Woohoo, I'm sinless. Because no, it still happens. But it's as you grow older, you sin less and less as you do this. Okay, the next thing is Matthew 7:5. Jesus says, you hypocrite, first take the log out of your own eye, and then you can see clearly to take the speck. So if it is something that you do need to go back to the person, make sure that you've really taken that speck out of your eye. You can use even the 1 Corinthians 13 passage, you know, in that, making sure that you are humble. So you examine yourself first. Then exhibit the fruit of the Spirit. Does anyone have that memorized by any chance?
Yes. Is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control.
Wow. Mm-hmm. You did.
Against
that's the...
Which
yes. And those qualities are what we are to be exhibiting, as we talked about 2 weeks ago. Okay, so that's an idea of a plan. You make it, you do your own, you pray before God, but that's just kind of a little verbal one for you.
Could I just ask a question to you at
yes.
that moment? Then would you just ignore it? I mean, if like all, you're kind of going through all of these things and you just kind of move on. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, it would take me some time to, like, you know what I mean? Go through these and my flare prayer and think of my verse. And then we might be just standing there. Like,
yeah, say, excuse me, I need to pull out my plan. Do you want to see my plan? No. So you put it on an index card, because that's what I have done. And you go number, and it's simple. I love simple. 1, pray. 2, that memory verse. 3. If something happens in that moment, it does depend. If the person says a hurtful comment and they walk away, I mean, bless, one gal last week shared, she probably shouldn't have, but she shared, and so I'm just going to tell you guys to be sensitive. She came in late, and someone apparently said, oh, late again, huh? Oh. And I don't think they meant it. You know, again, it's hard because we don't know. And that's why the whole do not judge, lest ye be judged, because we don't know what that person went through. I mean, his wife yelled at him because he was running late. So you have your plan, and you don't know what the situation's going to be, but you're going to be ready no matter what. If the person, say it's your husband, and then you're dealing with it within the hallway, you can say, you know what, I need to pause for a minute. Go to the bathroom and pull your card out, or have the plan. I mean, by having it 1, 2, 3, it's right there, so that we can, you know, exhibit the fruit of the Spirit. And if it's your husband, it may be something you have to deal right there. You go to the bathroom with him. No, just kidding. You find a room, and then you deal with it. If not, wait till you get home. But if it's something within the church, you know, most definitely work on it, but then work on, you may need godly counsel. Because we're going to get to that, too, in a couple of questions. But if I can help you later, too, on that, you know, let me know.
I wanted to mention one thing. I think all of those steps are very important, and you have to see things through so we're not harboring a bitterness or a resentment. Sometimes when there's instantaneous things, like say you're at a family gathering and there's going to be a lot of things going on.
Oh, yeah,
like
especially you're all, so you have a lot of people.
Especially my family gatherings. But I've heard of a thing like just to bless and release someone. Like, you know, if somebody's being ugly or saying something ugly or acting in a wrong way towards you, they probably have these difficulties and problems. What about like an instantaneous reaction of blessing them?
We're going to get to that.
And yeah, like so a bless and release, like releasing, you know. And then, you know, probably because of our nature, then we have to go back to the different steps that we have and the scriptures
yes.
that we have memorized.
We are going to get to that. Mm-hmm. Thank you. That's kind of an introduction even. Are you ready? Okay, thank you, Kathy, and Kelly, too. Okay. The last paragraph in 25. Sentence, actually. Only through the self-sacrificing love produced by the Holy Spirit, that's how such a congregation can possibly hold together. And I really like that. Because again, love, dying to self, as we talked about, Jesus being our example. Okay, here we go. 2, love does not seek revenge for wrong suffered. On page 26, we have a natural sinful way of being defensive, selfish, and wanting justice when wrong. So on page 9 of your workbook, and number 4, explain the principle of non-retaliation and how to help temper most conflicts. And there was a bunch of verses there to kind of help. Does anyone have anything they'd like to share there?
I just kind of grouped them, and I said, by not retaliating, not returning a slap on the cheek, not repaying evil for evil or reviling for reviling, but instead blessing those who harm me by trusting in God, who judges justly.
Very good.
And I like this though. It says love lowers the temperature of most conflict by refusing to engage in retaliation.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Very good.
Yes. They have the verse listed here, Romans 12:17, which is repay no one evil for evil, but give thought to do what is honorable in the sight of all. But then down in 21 it says, do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. And when we give a blessing in the face of someone else's cursing, it's like pouring water on what could be a fire.
Mm-hmm.
You're stamping it out before it consumes both of you.
That's very good. I like that illustration even. Anybody else?
I always think of where it describes Christ being mocked, and it says he opened not his mouth.
Mm-hmm.
The symbol of Christ to death as he is being put to death by sinners, not
retaliating or responding, even, but just submitting to his father's will obediently.
Very good. And our example. Okay, we're going to move on to three. That's on page 28. Love overcomes evil through prayer, forbearance, and kindness. So for prayer, six. In what, okay, again, this is question six, page 9 of the workbook. In what ways does prayer play a major role in handling conflict in a constructive, godly way? Yeah, that like if we're doing following the plan.
And I know that when you ask God specifically in prayer for help in anything, confronting or in conflict, He's ready and willing and able.
Mm-hmm.
You can depend on Him to help.
Because He wants you to.
Yes, He does.
That's the thing.
It's His will.
Yeah. Very good. Thank you.
Same time, we express our utter dependence upon Him.
Mm-hmm.
And not doing so, that we need Him for that.
That's right.
For me, if there's like a conflict with someone, it's really hard for me to be hating on them and like thinking bad of them if I'm praying for them.
Absolutely.
And like asking God to help me in the conflict.
Amen.
I can't do it. So mm-hmm. It's one or the other. So prayer really helps in that.
Yep, it sure does. And he actually has that in the middle of 29.
I just want to add something that to your comment. So many times I ask God to help me love this person that I'm having a conflict with. Because it's hard sometimes.
You can't do it. You can't do it.
No, because if you're always, and I'm thinking of when we went to Wisconsin. We had just so many family situations, and they're not really believers, and so it was difficult. So I, Lord, mm-hmm. help me love these people. Help me love
Amen.
This specific person, and He does.
Mm-hmm.
He helps us. And then I know when that love comes forth, it's like, wow, I have more compassion for her.
That's right.
You know, and can pray in a different way.
Mm-hmm.
And God also works in the hearts of those people. I think, the Bible says that we need to pray about those people, then He does also work in the hearts, mm-hmm. and it says that in the book.
That's right.
I thought of family also, because that's a lot of time for me. That's where a lot of this came to play, was, extended family members and stuff, because they can hurt us the most, and they often hurt us repeatedly for years.
Mm-hmm.
And that's deep, and it's hard to, it's hard to let go of when it continues.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, it's hard to just forgive, because then you're vulnerable for it to happen again. It's easier to have that wall up.
Mm-hmm.
But keep praying for them, and not only it said in the middle of 29, not to just passively take it, but to you should be active to pray that God will have mercy on and change their hearts.
Mm-hmm.
So it's easier to just not react, but when you have to go the extra step and say, like she said, pray for them and ask God to. Draw them to Him himself.
Mm-hmm. Because as we go ahead.
Sorry. Recognizing that it's God's grace that you're able to love, and then in turn just that only the Lord can help them, reciprocate that. Like we can't. Sometimes in pride we think, how can you not forgive or how can you not love? But it's God's grace that we are able to love. So seeing it through that perspective, that then just pray for their hearts, like you said, that they would be able to love and forgive.
Mm-hmm. And in doing that, as I think it was Catherine, our heart will change. That's the neat thing about it, too.
I think also just the very act of praying, it just reminds us of eternal priorities and perspectives. And so many times the conflicts that we have that seem so important are not eternal. So seeing what's really important helps.
That's good. Thank you, ladies. Very good. His next was forbearance on 29, and there's that word again. Then kindness. Just want to make sure. Okay. Kindness. Workbook number, page 10, number 8. List two practical ways in which loving acts of kindness temper conflict. Does anyone have Proverbs 15:1 memorized? Bingo. That'll do it. If you have that memorized and you're ready, because you got wrath coming on you, a gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. As Paul was growing, I'm not going to tell his issues, but because he wouldn't want me to, we're being recorded. When we would go at it, it would be him going up higher in anger and me going up higher in anger, and we would just be doing this, going nowhere. So when I learned this verse and he started doing this and I started doing that, he started coming down. So it works. I'll just tell you right now that when you do that with a humble heart, again, it's not a formula. It's by the Holy Spirit's power, because when you have those passions going, especially with a teenage boy or girl, it's a good one. A gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. It's very, very true. So next element, love covers a multitude of sins. And I found a quote by John MacArthur in his sermon on love. And this is now where Kathy was talking about, though, you know, the blessing instead, you know, returning, it was also what Kathy was saying. But I really liked this. So this is his sermon on love, and he's dealing mainly with 1 Peter 4. In other words, total love is total forgiveness. Peter put it this way, 1 Peter 4:8, you are to have stretched love, a fervent love. It speaks of a muscle stretched to its limits. You are to love to the very limits, for love covers a multitude of sin. How big is your multitude? Well, however broad your love is, that's how big the multitude is. God knows if you love, you're going to have to let people off the hook. God knows if you love, you're going to have to forgive. God knows love has to deal with sin, but love does by covering it. It means throwing a blanket over it, removing it, putting it out of sight. So first of all, the depth of your love is indicated by how much you forgive. And we have that, you know, that parable of forgiveness that's right next in Matthew 18. Then he says after that, think about it. Do you hold a grudge against somebody in your house? So I add in your church as well, since that's kind of our context here, but house as well. He continues, it isn't their problem, it's your problem. If you're holding it right, that hurts. It's like, whoosh. So just something, food for thought on that one. So how much do we go till Jill? 8 o'clock? 8:05? 8:10? Did you just say?
Well,
I'm sorry. Okay, because we had the same thing yesterday. It was like trying to figure out, oh, when do we stop? Okay. Number 5, love denies self for the good of others. And he had that interesting example of the conflict with the couples and the wine. On page 11, question 10 at the top, list one modern day example of disputed matters or matters of conscience that cause disagreements or conflicts among true Christians. So just popcorn them out there. What are some things that... Yep, schooling. That was brought up yesterday, by the way, too.
Music,
yep.
Tattoos.
Theological
interpretation.
Wow, that's deep, Kim. Wow. Wow, okay. Anything else?
Holidays,
yep.
Movies.
Clothing,
yep. That's what I had.
Versions of the Bible.
Ooh, yeah, that's big. Yeah. just like in that little chapter there. In Wayne Mack's book, Maximum Impact, he says, loving God and others with a love that doesn't seek its own means that we will be willing to allow others to do things differently than we do without judging or condemning them. So just going along with this here. So our next question, using the verses below, what were the guiding principles in Paul's life for dealing with disputed matters? Were there any, we're not going to go through each one, but was there any there that was new to you that, or wow, that you would like to share with us tonight? Or would someone like to share an experience where you had to surrender your right and freedom in Christ for the spiritual edification of others? Deep stuff. It got quiet. We haven't had the quiet thing for a while.
About that, even Christian music and how Christian it is or whether it has a drum beat or not, and so honoring those that might be in your car with you or in your home.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a practical example of dying to yourself and what you want to listen to.
Very good. That's a very good one. Thank you, Jill. John Wesley has said, though we cannot think alike, may we not love alike. Really like that. Okay. Six is practice what you preach about love. So, the corresponding on page 11, 12a, explain the meaning of 1 John 3:18. It's pretty basic.
Not just to say we love someone, but to show it by our actions.
Right.
I like what it says on 35, but what good is it to preach that God the Father's love is in and among us if we fight like the devil?
Yep. That's right. It goes along with, I'm sorry, go ahead,
George. No, I was just going to say you got to show it.
That's right. We do. And James 1:22 is one of my favorite verses. You know, don't be hearers of the word, but be doers of the word.
Yeah,
okay.
So many people you talk to who aren't Christian, who were raised in churches, have stories of, well, one, how critical everybody is, but also how destructive and mean and how they saw people destroyed by other people in the church.
And, you know, and you hear a lot of, you know, I won't go to that church because they're all hypocrites, you know, because of that as well. The same vein is what you were saying.
Or even I won't go to any church. I'll worship at home.
Exactly, Kim.
Churches.
Yeah.
Troubled.
Exactly. Okay. John 13:35. By this all men will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. And, you know, that means loving. That means asking each other's forgiveness when we aren't loving and restoring that relationship. That blows the world away when you see when they see stuff like that. R.C. Sproul has said, in the New Testament, love is more of a verb than a noun. It has more to do with acting than with feeling. The call to love is not so much a call to a certain state of feeling as it is a quality of action. And that was from R.C. Sproul. Back in the year 2017, which was last year. Sorry, I had to say that. Okay. I heard a sermon by, we all heard the sermon if you were there, by Pastor Eric, What Jesus Thinks of a Loveless Orthodoxy. And when I went back to find it, I'm very thankful for Kristen. Oh my goodness. If you want to look for sermons, It's by topic, it's by the person. I found it. I was so excited. I found this particular sermon because it was the one where he was talking about the Ephesians church in the book of Revelation, about the whole issue of them losing their first love. I had always thought it was the Lord, that they lost their first love with the Lord. But he, as I'll be reading, I took a chunk, so bear with me. The way he relates it, it's really a love for each other. The other interesting thing about this is that it was preached on my birthday. When I saw it, I'm like, ooh, that was on my birthday too. But it was one that I always remembered. I know, isn't that funny? I always remembered it because I thought of actually our church as well. So I want to make sure I read this without all the clearing of throat. So here we go. This is all Pastor Eric. I think that's what was going on with the Ephesians. They had all of their doctrinal ducks in a row. Their faith was solid in time of temptation and trial. But instead of those things producing love, they had allowed pride, selfish ambition, self-righteousness, arrogance, jealousy, bitterness to rise up within their midst. Well, let's take that principle over to the church. When you've joined a church, and for the first year or so, this is great. Everybody's so nice and loving. You can't imagine having any conflict or problem with any of these sweet people. But what happens when you're at a church and the honeymoon period ends? When you've been a member for a couple of years and you start to see one another's warts and weaknesses, and certain individuals start to annoy you and even sin against you, that's where your theology is proven. Anybody can love a saint. Anyone can love someone they don't know very well. Even pagans can do that. But to love sinners, people we are close to, people we know, people who annoy us and sin against us, that's evidence of true Christian love. Love one another as I have loved you. In John 13:34, in order for us to love one another, we must study how Christ loved us. And so, we're not called to choose between love and theology. We are called to keep on adding love to our commitment to sound theology. Close quote. So, we now have a little more sound theology in our study of love today. Intellectually understanding all the biblical truths in this study will not produce maturity. It's the personal practice of the truths that bring maturity, and it hurts because you're going to get sinned against. But that's how we grow. We're going to have trials in our lives. That's how we grow. Let's turn to the very back. And Lana, do you mind reading the key principles to remember for us?
Sure. Number one, when facing conflict, practice what you preach about love. Number two, practice the principle of non-retaliation. Number three, overcome the hurts of conflict with prayer, forbearance, and positive deeds of kindness. Number four, be prepared to surrender your rights and freedoms in Christ for the spiritual edification of others.
So you'll notice all four of them are do. Do something. So what are we going to do? We're going to come up with a plan. You just pray for wisdom, and if that's something you want to do, that's an idea. If you need help, I love doing plans. I will help you. So have an accountability partner for memory verses, a partner to pray with. Are you loving God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and your neighbor as yourself? Jesus said, the first commandment is God, the second is your neighbor as yourself. And your neighbor is the person right next to you at that moment. So how is, that's right, right there. Behave over there, Janet. No. So, how is your daily time with God in his word and prayer? We have time in our day. We need to do it. We need to make the time for prayer. We need to make the time to be in the word. Now, Joe said, this is, because I let him look at this, this is where you need to do your hand illustration thing. And I'm like, they keep getting tired of the hand illustration thing. But I'm going to do it, because I did it down south. Every day you should be reading the Word. I have the MacArthur Daily Bible, and it's Old Testament, little bit of Proverbs, little bit of Psalms, and New Testament. I just read it. Don't study it. I just read it. Study the Word. Boom. Every day, read that. Every day, study. Do a little bit of your study. Every day, work on one verse a week, but work on it every day. That way you have the Word of God all the time. Hear it. If you have the Bible app, pop that puppy on while you're folding clothes, doing dishes, whatever. Or, better yet, find a sermon and listen to it. Have hearing going every day. 10 minutes. Doesn't have to be, you know, all day long. Those four things, because then you meditate on that. Because when you're sinned against, you'll have that power. You'll have that to recall. You have the power already of the Holy Spirit. But you won't be quenching them. You'll be empowering yourself with Him in you. So that's my little mantra, the hand illustration. I was thinking, you know, when I, Lord willing, I'll be here when I pass on into glory. And I've got my memorial service getting set up. I've already told Alex we're going to be singing most of the time. But I have a funny feeling someone's going to be saying, yeah, and remember she used to do that hand illustration. I hope so, because I want you guys to do the same. So anyway, what I'd like to do, and oh, the other thing I wanted to tell you that was just amazingly amazing. So, and there's times where, oh my goodness, I have to catch up. Ooh boy, because I didn't get to it one day, but I'm going to catch up because I'm working on not being too much of a perfectionist. But anyway, today is September 27, right?
Yes.
Guess what was today? Are you guys ready?
Ready.
I say walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And then I skip down. The works of the flesh are evident. And then I'm going to skip down for time. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. It was today. That was so cool. I'm like, oh, I got to bring that in. I can show my little Bible as well as read that. That was today. So thank you, Lord. What I'd like to do is close in prayer with this book, At the Throne of Grace by John MacArthur. It's a book of prayers. And if you read the foreword, it's kind of cute. He's a very humble guy. When they approached him with it, they said, you should do a book of prayers. He said, I don't want to. But his children won. And he now has these book of prayers. And when I looked in here, I'm like, let's see if there's one on love. And I'm going to have you write down 1 John 4:7-19. In fact, I challenge you to make that your Bible reading even. 1 John. Talk about a book full of love for one another and the love for God. But what I'm going to be doing is I'm going to pray his prayer.
1 John 4:1, I'm sorry.
4:7-19. But read the whole thing, Angie, because it's really, really good. But this was what this prayer was based on. So we're going to close in prayer with this. Father, your love has been poured out within our hearts through this Holy Spirit who was given to us. And we confess that the only reason we love at all is because you first loved us. Your love enables us to love you and one another in a way that is beyond human capacity. Magnify that love in our hearts and enlarge our hearts in the process. We thank you for loving us into your family and kingdom. And as we come before you now, fill us with the heavenly love so that our worship will be a foretaste of true heavenly praise. Give us Christ-like love for one another, the love that takes up towel and basin and gladly serves in the lowliest place. Give us grace to render that service and sacrifice with overflowing joy and true humility. Empower us to encourage and love one another and give of ourselves freely as Christ did for us. May we see beyond the faces of those whom we serve as blessed, beloved, and precious as they may be, and may we look to you, the one whom we are to love, with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. and so may we truly minister to one another as unto the Lord. Help us to love you more. Free us from the grip of trivial worldly attractions that vie for our affections. Show us in the process the vanity of our sins and the barrenness of this world's values, and cause us to fix our affections on heavenly things. May our daily walk thus bring us even nearer to the cross and ever closer to heaven. Spirit of God, write abiding truths on our hearts through our study of your word this day. Nourish our souls with the food that is needful for us, the food that endures to eternal life. We praise you and find our greatest joy and peace. In Jesus' name, amen. So thank you guys for participating. That was very, very good. But it was a really, really good chapter. Very needed chapter. Not that we're doing bad. No, not that we're not loving, but a reminder, you know, for us.
Thank you.
Oh, praise the Lord. I tell you, lots of prayer.
Yes. Is there anybody here that finds it hard to memorize scripture?
Yes.
Our grandkids came to visit, and Ashlyn is she's 3 and a half now. And she said, clear as a bell, every word of the Lord's Prayer. We were just,
aww.
Wow. It's like, oh, okay. So I guess I can memorize
We can, I think, and I've been having difficulty. I'm joining the group of Titus, and I've been having difficulties too, but I'm looking at different ways to help me. I have an app. I did get the book.
Did you read the last chapter?
No, I'm still at the Titus part, but
so good.
When Jill shows how, you know, you can write it out in a certain way.
Yes.
Listen to it. I also have an app that my son Joel recommended called Scripture Typer. You put the thing in there, and then it'll skip every other word, and then it'll help. You know, you can put it in there.
It erases it on the whiteboard. Just
kinda, yeah.
Yeah, it's got like games with your verse.
Yeah.
So
that
helps.
Fighter verse. There's another one called Fighter verse.
That's the old
Jake
one.
Used that when he did K for T.
There you go. So there's a lot of neat tools to help us. Music,
yes.
Exactly.
So
yep.
Music for school, and Anna was memorizing stuff in third and fourth grade with history and her song. And her senior year, taking her SAT, she was still singing them to get the answers to the test. So it really sticks with you, especially if you just put it on like an iPod or something on where you can just play.
Yeah.
It really sticks with you.
Yep, very much. Joel was my, or he still is my music guy. That's how he did his Awana verses. He'd sing it and listen on the way there just to get it in. So yeah, by music. There's so many neat ways. And it's hard. It totally, so for some people it's easier, but it's, oh boy, I'm struggling, but I'm doing this. I'm going to do this. Because I really do want to do a book. That was a neat challenge. So there's also pumpkin. I am sorry, Tori, but she brought pumpkin roll. And we're also going to break up in our prayer groups tonight. This is going to be our, oh, sorry.
It's okay. Our first.
Everyone knows we had pumpkin roll tonight.